Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're here again today with my lovely daughter, Rachel. We've been talking this week about Christian identity, about becoming a disciple of Jesus, and giving Rachel an opportunity. She's working with an organization called ID, Intentional Discipleship. That's what that means, and it being intentional in pursuing the call of discipleship that Jesus gives to everyone who's baptized into him, and to also understand what does that mean? What does a Christian identity look like in this world of confused identities everywhere? And so, Rachel, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Okay, so we talked about really how do you come out of the story of the world into the story of God yesterday, the conversion piece. And if you didn't have a chance, friends, to listen to that yesterday, or friends you'd like to have hear it, you could listen to it at our website at renewalministries.net, or just download the Renewal Ministries app. You can pass it around freely to everybody who listened to it if you like it. So let's talk today. What would you say would be the next step? What you often talk about with young people.
Sure. So there's that conversion piece. So now you've surrendered your life in a serious way. So this is, which this happens a lot of different times, but normally people have significant periods where they recognize, okay, this was when I really encountered Jesus in a serious way, and I made a serious decision to surrender my life to him. And then obviously every day after that is a decision to surrender that as well, because it's a process. But so you've done that, and you come then through your baptism, right? Through your baptism and sacraments, you're regenerated, you're given new life as a child of God. So now, even though you're in the world, in your same nuclear family, with your same blood type and everything, walking in the world, in your career, you now belong to a new family. You're in a world, but you belong to another. And so now what does it mean to live the way of life set out by that family, to live the way of this other world while you're in the context of this world? That's the process of discipleship. That's the process of following Jesus. You know, so a good way to put it, that a pastor in Portland put it, that I think is really good, is to, now that we've surrendered to Jesus, now the process of life is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. You know, as a way of spiritual formation. So to begin to say, actually, now I'm lit. What does it mean to live as a child of God in this family in the context of me as a 27-year-old in Ann Arbor, Michigan, working in the job that I live in? And so we need to make sure that we have the family of God behind us, and we need to make sure that we're actually living the way of life that Jesus laid out for us to live.
So break open a little bit more than to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
How would you describe that to people?
Yeah, I mean, to be, not only has Jesus allowed us access to the Father after this life, right? So now our destiny changed. We can have access to God in heaven. But by sending the Holy Spirit, he's actually allowed us to be with him here on earth, right? And to have an intimate relationship with him. So it's not just like he comes and wants us to have to do his demands, right? He's not a boss. He's not a slave driver, right? Jesus, he came to have friends, but ultimately he came for lovers, right? Mm-hmm. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for people that he wants to grow in intimacy with, right? And so we can't actually become in spiritual formation like a person that we're never with. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't actually even desire that. Like, why would I want to become like Jesus if I don't love him and want to be with him? You know, so this is kind of a catch-22 at the same time, because one, it's a practice, and it's this also a relationship. So we have to set up a habit. We have to set up a practice to actually be with Jesus, right? So if I say, I love spending time with you, I really, really want to spend time with you. Like, you know when you run into old friends and you're always like, oh, let's grab coffee, I'm going to text you, or let's grab dinner, I'm going to call you, and you never do it? That's kind of like what we are like with Jesus sometimes. You know, it's like, oh, I have this great friend, I never spend significant time with him, you know? So we actually have to make the practice of setting.
Jesus, it was really, you might have a moment. Hey, it was really good to see you again. Awesome. We got to go deeper at some point.
Yeah. Okay? I'll give you a call. Yeah, we'll grab lunch. It's like those friends that you know you say you're going to grab lunch with that you never grab lunch with.
Right, yeah.
And so to actually, one, like to be with Jesus as a practice, and to also want to be with him is really the core of the spiritual life.
And that, just to make a point on that, that's the door. He's the doorway. Mm-hmm. He's the entry point. because where he's going to lead you is to not only love him, but then to, you'll end up loving what he loves, which is his spiritual family,
which
is the church, the body of Christ. You know?
So, and it's so interesting because he leads us into this relationship. And then he says, like, through me, I am the door, and I'm going to teach you how to love. I've through my blood, now you're able to come into the family of God. You're having a new destiny. But then in 1 John, John says, how do we know that we've passed from death to life? And you would say, oh, through relationship with Jesus. What? It says, no, if you love one another.
If you love the brethren, yeah. How about that?
And so that's actually the fruit, is the fruit of loving one another, the fruit of loving what Jesus loves through obedience that turns into delight is actually the proof that Jesus says you passed from death to life, you know, which is pretty amazing and pretty serious to think about.
We see in that union with Christ, we come to see the reality and the truth of who we are and all its goodness and badness. And we come to the experience of being unconditionally loved there. He's willing my good. He's for me. He's in my corner. He actually, he loves me. He's his favors upon my life and all that.
Right.
And so that heals the heart. And he says, look, I want you to look at your neighbor that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it's easy to see the warts in your neighbor and things that you don't like about him, but I'm going to teach you how to love them.
Right.
You know, just like you're learning how to love me and to receive my love. Yeah. I'm going to teach you how to do it and see what it looks like.
And so that's becoming like Jesus, right? Because through relationship with him, we begin to take on his character. We begin to grow in his character and become like him. And so being with him, right, if you don't, if we're listening and you don't have a prayer time, if you don't have a set aside time to be with God, and I encourage you to think about it like that. Like, not to say I need to set aside a time to do these rope prayers, which are amazing. Continue to do those. You know, I need to set aside a time to go to Mass. Great. Continue to do that. But also set aside a time to be with Jesus, to be with him. And one thing that really began to help me is at the beginning of those prayer times, I would just write my own, kind of like write my own prayer to God that would say, I'm here before you. I'm giving you everything that's on my heart and my mind. And I'm here not because I have to be, but because I want to be with you. Right? Because I want to spend time with you. Not because
not
I'm looking
box,
for anything from you. I don't need you to give me anything, but because I love you and I want to be with you. Even if when I didn't feel it, you know, just saying that to the Lord, you know, and creating that relationship. And then you begin to learn how to, what Brother Lawrence, a brother called Practicing the Presence of God, you know, he, Brother Lawrence was a dishwasher, and he would experience the presence of God always with him. Sometimes he would say in his writings, as close, he would be washing the dishes, and Jesus would be as close to him, face to face with him, washing the dishes as he was when he was sit before the Blessed Sacrament, you know, to be able to actually, but he had to have those times where he was with Jesus, sitting with Jesus, to then leave and carry the presence of God, that carry that being with Jesus in his heart into his life, which began to actually form him into the person and the character and the nature of Jesus.
Yeah, so that's being with Jesus is where we started. So it means having daily prayer. And then, of course, the Word of God. I mean, friends, it sounds self-evident, but you know, as a Saint Jerome, whoever said, you know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Jesus. This word is a living letter of love anointed by the Spirit of God that, as Pope Benedict described at one point, to lead us into a conversation and direct personal contact with Christ. He reveals himself to us in the Word. The Holy Spirit helps that Word come alive in us. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, honestly, if we're not reading the Scripture, we're actually not, we're losing something very significant. Mm-hmm. And if we're ignorant of Scripture, we can easily have strange definitions of who Jesus, a little bit of what the Bible says about Jesus, a little bit about what other, so that's a critical piece, I think, of prayer.
Yeah, and
it's not, I mean, the Holy Spirit's the leader of it all. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes us deep into the union with God. So the first one you said was be with him. Second one is
become like him, which is a little bit, you know, more specific to what we were talking about in terms of the practicals of entering into the story of God, right? Because the reality of becoming like Jesus is we're all becoming like something. We're all becoming like someone because we're all being formed by things, whether we know it or not. And so our desires are being formed by things, and our likes and our loves are forming us, you know, so what we spend our time doing forms us. And so we actually have to like almost go backwards in the process to form through obedience our likes and our loves, to form our desires to be what Jesus desires, to be what is good, what is right, what is beautiful, and all those things that St. Paul says. And so we almost have to start backwards to let the Holy Spirit reorder us, to say, like, I actually have to enter into an experience of counterformation, you know, to say something is forming me. We're all being formed by something. We're all receiving something, you know, whether it's another person, whether it's the top five people we spend the most time with, whether it's what we spend our time doing. We're being formed into something or someone, and unless we're intentional, we will not be formed into Jesus. And so to actually really look at our lives and say, what is forming me? You know, what do I spend the most of my time doing? Who do I spend the most of my time with? Am I starting to look like these people that I'm around? Who am I becoming like, right? Because the whole process of our life is a becoming, and then the end will be what we've become. So yeah. The question is will we become Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's good. The becoming like Jesus, Paul says becoming like him, he prayed like him in his death.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that mean? I think a great place to go that just makes so much sense to me in terms of revealing the heart of what it's all about to become like Jesus, he emptied himself, Philippians 2. He emptied himself. How did he do that? By becoming obedient. He humbled himself, it says, by becoming obedient unto death.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says to us, this is, if you want to become like me, this is what feeds me every day,
mm-hmm.
to do the will of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
This is my passion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the meaning of my life, hearing from him, being with him, and then concretely obeying him. That's mm-hmm. why Jesus said, hey, you can say Lord, Lord, Lord all day long, but if you don't obey me, I'm not going to know you. Because
right.
you're not really becoming
yeah.
like me. You don't really want to become like me.
Yeah.
You want to buy a little fire insurance in case this all is real, the ultimate end of this. You don't really want to enter a relationship of love and radical surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's saying, you know, it's difficult to enter the kingdom mm-hmm. of heaven. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide way and there's a narrow way.
Mm-hmm.
And that narrow way is a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming like that person.
Right.
And at the core, that really, really gives trouble to our pride. And where we get stopped is say, I have to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
The human heart does not want to obey mm-hmm. anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We want others to obey us. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun
yeah.
when that happens.
Right.
You know, but.
And going back to even that family piece that we were talking about earlier, and in terms of how it connects with obedience, what does Jesus say? He says, who are my mother, my brother, my sister, those who do the will of my Father.
There you go.
You know, so Jesus comes into a society, you know, that is so focused on bloodline, that is so focused on like patrilineal family, the, you know, Jewish society in his time, and is saying, actually, I'm putting this family that I'm creating is not based on bloodline. It's based on who will follow my Father, who will do the will of my Father. And then that family is supposed to now come before your bloodline. It's supposed to come before your nuclear family, which in those days was, I mean, to say something like that would be crazy, you know? And mm-hmm. so he's saying, now this is the new definition, not of where you've come from, but who is going to obey. And that's what creates my family.
Yeah. And then the human heart gets troubled and can be saddened because say, I don't know if I can do that. And mm-hmm. Jesus says, that's why I've given you my Holy Spirit. We can't do it.
Yeah.
And he will do it in us. He'll give us the power. He said he's going to give us a new heart. The new heart is the Holy Spirit. The new law in us is the law of love, the love of God. He's given us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit is what subdues the flesh, you know, the willfulness in us. And he wants us to have hope about that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he will teach us to love sinners. We do that in our life because we love ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it. The person we love the most, even in ordinary. But anyway, friends, we got one more day together. Hope you can join us. Invite your friends to join us. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.